Today's message is titled, Let Us Check Our Hearts. My name is Arcane Jantuan, the Executive Director of Faith in New Jersey. And before we begin our message, I'd like to ask that we all bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for this day of bringing us all together as one people, one family. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your patience throughout the week with us. But more importantly, God, we come before you today to ask you for your guidance and your help for those who need you the most. Father, we all need you, God. We all beg of your presence. But today we ask for a special prayer for those who are unable to be here today. Those who are in their homes struggling, oh God, feeling like life has turned against them. Father God, we ask you, Lord God, to send them help, Lord. Let them know that you're real. Let them know that you have not forgot them. But Lord God, that you are here to give them what they need. We ask that you, Lord God, help those who have yet to know about you, to learn about your love and your abundance. Lord God, we just want to thank you, because if it wasn't for you, where would we be today? We need you every single step of the way in our journey, God, because we cannot do it without you. And Father, Lord, we ask that our neighbor that we sit next to, that you guide them, Lord. We don't know what they're going through too, but Father, you know their hearts. They might smile and they might be dressed appropriately, but Father, you know their struggles. Meet their needs. Show them your love. Show them that you're their Father. Show them that you're God. And we will celebrate you, honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
One of the hardest things to do on this earth is to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Because some of us have learned how to say the right things and act in the right way and show the world how blessed we are with our material wealth and our possessions. But there is one thing that God sees above all things, and that is something called our hearts. That is an essential thing that God is always looking at, despite our professions, despite where we live, despite what we've been through, and despite how much money we make. God is always examining our hearts, because our hearts is where our true feelings are. This is where our intent and our desires lie. This is what God looks before he looks at your beautiful hair, before he looks at your eyes, before he looks at that wonderful mind that helps you get out of bed, before he looks at your own individual situation, whether it's good or bad. Because God makes it very clear, according to 1 Samuel 16, that man and woman might look at you on the outside, but the first thing that God is always examining is, where is your heart? So when we read the scriptures, we see that there was a mighty prophet called Samuel. And Samuel, as great as he was, when he would walk into a community, his presence would make people tremble. Samuel was able to hear directly from God and deliver powerful messages. But do you realize that when God chose there to be a new king of Israel after he rejected King Saul, that Samuel couldn't even get the right person. He went to Jesse and said, "Your sons, where are they?" And every single one of the seven that he presented, he said that surely you are the one that God has appointed to be the king of Israel. And each and every single time, the mighty Samuel was wrong. Why? Because Samuel was looking at the physique. He was looking at the stature. He was looking at the strength. And he said, surely this person who speaks well, who stands well, who presents well, should be the king. It took God himself to say, no, Samuel, there's someone else. Where Samuel went back to Jesse and said, do you have another son? And he said, yeah, but he's a little peepsqueak in the back. And when he went there, and that's when God said that this is who I've chosen. And why did he say that? Because it wasn't about physical nature. It wasn't about the occupation. God said it very clearly that he looks at your heart. And all throughout the Bible, despite the good and the bad that David did, God was always saying that he had my heart. And God knew David had a great heart. And do you realize that God pays no attention to people who do a whole lot of talking and even give a whole lot of money, but secretly they do not care about their relationship with him and how they live their life? These people have made a conscious decision that they will not dispose their hearts to pleasing God and seeking his will for their lives. Jesus quoted saying this way when talking to and about the prophet Isaiah. He says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are so far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. And this is when he was describing the Pharisees, who he called hypocrites. Not because they weren't doing, quote unquote, the religious thing. It's because their hearts weren't in the right place. To have your heart away from God means you know what is right, but you do what you want to do. How many of us have been that struck? Lord, I know what I should be doing, but God, I remember that dream that I had, but I remember what my grandmother said to me long time ago after her 3 days of prayer, but. And deep down inside, there's this struggle sometimes on the inside, and it's this wrestle with what we perceive we should be doing and what we want to do and what our mind's saying. But deep down inside, there's a tinkling of your heart telling you something different. And we have to encourage each other to make a commitment today that we will try our hardest every single day to make sure that our hearts are lined up with the will of God for our life, for his people, and for this beautiful earth that he's put us on. Jesus Our Christ, the amazing, spent time not just with his disciples, not just with the quote-unquote good people, but he spent time with a whole bunch of people who disagreed with him and some of them who just didn't want him to be present. And he spent time with lawyers and Pharisees who held their traditions and the law. He always challenged them to use their common sense and their ability to discern from the abundance of their heart whether a law or tradition made sense or not. And that's why he asked them, he always challenged them, he said, what if your donkey or your ox fell into a pit on the Sabbath day? Would you not take it out? I wasn't there, but I can imagine the room got really quiet. And he said, what if somebody was sick? Would you not heal them on the Sabbath? Would you be upset that I healed somebody on the Sabbath? I wasn't there, but I can imagine some head just. And today, this is applicable. Because if a law changes today, or gets modified, and we learn that a 60-year-old man, who happened to be our neighbor, for the last 25 years, who paid his taxes, who sent his kids to college, who owned his own house, but happened to be undocumented. Should that person be thrown in jail? Should that person be separated from his kids? Should that person be sent back to a country where they have no idea what is left, right, and have no family or friend support? And we know what the law is saying. And we know the environment of what people say. But the question is, what does your heart say? And that is something that we always must take into account every time we're up against an obstacle, every time we're up against a decision. We love to intellectualize everything. The way the pros and the cons, and then I do my analysis, present me the fact sheet. But outside of that, what is your heart telling you? Where is your heart beating? What is it tickling? And so we see, this is what God is asking us to do more than ever, is to examine our hearts to see if things are actually adding up or not. Does it make sense? Does it feel right? And more importantly, if Jesus was here with us right now, what would he say and what would he do? What God needs more than ever are people who are going to open up their hearts and who want to be like children. Yes, I said it. Children. When you look at Matthew 18, verse 3, it says, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Why is children emphasized? It's because children are beautiful, like you are. But children are not easily afraid. We spend time teaching children what to be afraid of. I guarantee you, let a kid run right now. We run, don't go down the stairs. Wait. Slow down. Children talk to everyone. We have to tell children, don't talk to strangers. Because they say, hello. How are you? Mommy lives over there. And more importantly, children see people as human beings before they look at their sex, their race, their ethnicity, their sexual orientation. And us, whether we admit it or not, we still struggle seeing people as humans before we see them as a category. Every day we should open our hearts to make sure we are pleasing God and following His will for our lives. And if you haven't had this conversation recently with God and say, what is your will for my life? I encourage you right now as you're speaking and you're sitting, just to have that internal conversation. Say, God, I know I'm doing all right. What is the will that you have for my life? And this is important because this journey is not about us. It's about Him. It's about the kingdom. It's about finding ways to stand together and fighting for some of the most vulnerable in our communities. Sometimes we think we have it bad, but there are some people who cannot even fathom what they will be eating tomorrow. There are some people who literally are home, stuck in this house because they are afraid if they walk out, they might be separated from their families. You have people who anxiety has crept up and become a every single day part of their lives. And this is the question we need to be asking ourselves. And as you take action in your life to please God and His will, remember to not be focused on advancing your own self or receiving recognition. When you do God's work, it should be about being recognized, but remember that God has a plan for you. Not everything is going to be about being recognized. You're not always going to be put up in the sky and say, we thank you for doing this. But just know that God still has a plan for your life, and He sees what you do. And this is why some of you, God has big plans. And some of you, God has little plans. But we are all working together in the same body of Christ. And the body of Christ means, as a body, my head is as important as my hand, as my feet, as my heart, as every part that's interconnected. And that's what we are. When we do our part, we become like the Transformers. Working together for the good. Please do not place your faith in any man or woman to exalt you. Let God exalt you. Let Him exalt your name. Let Him exalt your brand and your deeds in your own town, in your own state, in your country, and around the world. I thank your pastor for all of her work that she's done. But her life has been God's hand on her life. And the more she submits to God, the more God will continue to promote her and continue to exalt her name. And this is what we need to be looking at. How do we get exalted from our God? And when you give, do not give so you can get in return. Make sure when you're giving your time, your resources, and your energy to those people, remember, some of those people can't even afford to say thank you. I worked in a homeless shelter for kids, going to court on their behalf, working with lawyers to find documents. Some of these kids were coming off the streets with literally a quarter in their pockets. And despite all the work I was doing, I would catch them in the hallway, and sometimes they would say things to me that I can't repeat on this pulpit. But I had to be so convicted that this was not about me, but this is about me reflecting my God in their lives, in my community, in their community. And if I made it about me, the first time I was cursed at, I would have walked out. And that's what our conviction has to be. Is your conviction to promote your own self? Because that's temporary. But when you stand with God in His will, He will give you the necessary tools that you need to be effective in everything that you do. Learn to invite people, just like Jesus did, over for dinner who are not your normal friends, who are not your normal family. And this is important if we're talking about building a community. We can't just come to service on Sundays and say we're a community. Communities are built outside of service. We're spending sincere time with each other, learning, understanding, and asking questions to help us build deeper relationships. And one of the reasons the disciples were so effective is because Jesus spent time with them. And He asked questions, and they asked questions, and they challenged each other, and they built this movement that continues to exist to this day. And my question is, what is the movement that you're building? What are the movements that you're building outside of here that creates community, that stands together, and that holds hands and says, no matter what one goes through, we all go through it together? And this is the will of God. And everything that we do, please, don't post on social media. It's okay to highlight the work that you're doing. But, back to the point, where is your heart when you're sharing that message? Is it to get accolades? Or is it to shine and give God glory? Do you realize that God loves to recognize those and give appreciation to those who do things secretly? Not everything you have to promote to the world. And regardless if you do it, again, make sure your heart is in the right place, and you're doing it from the abundance of love. I say that because I'm a son of parents who escaped Haiti after my father's uncle was killed by the secret police. They went to the house, they dragged him out, they arrested him and later killed him because he was trying to organize the community under the dictatorship. They jumped on a boat with 100 people and tried to make it to America and ended up in Guantanamo Bay. After the dictator Duvalier Papa Baby Duck requested my family come, all the people come back to Haiti, my family made the case and told them that if they went back, they would be dead. And this story is tough because my mom doesn't even like to share. They decided to send 96 people back to Haiti. And two out of the four were my mother and my father, who ended up in America in 1977. When they got here, it was some of the most difficult times of their lives. They were appreciative, but to have no family, no friends, no network, and you're learning a language and you're working any job that you can find. On top of that, my father starts to struggle with mental illness. Finds out that he's suffering from schizophrenia. And this is the 70s. Since 2017, we still don't treat people with mental illness right. And a lot of homeless people are not homeless because they don't have the means. They're homeless because they don't have the needs and the services to get them. And so my father returned and my mom had to raise us three alone in America. And my mom always taught us that at the end of the day, God has to be at your foundation. Because this is what gave us the strength to be here today. Number two, she said, education must be a part of your daily life. And that's why I went to school at Brown University and Seton Hall, some of my other brothers, my siblings. And the most important thing, she said, was don't embarrass the family name. Yep, she would kill us. I bring this story up to let you know that there would be no me and my family would not be where they were if it wasn't for people who decided to step out of their own will and follow God's will and help a mother out raising three kids alone. Who brought her in, who prayed with her own character, who watched over us and supported us and became our aunt and uncles outside. And to this day, I thought they were my aunts and uncles and realized, no, they were not. And so the question is, somebody paved the way for us. Who are we paving the way for? That does not look like us, that does not sound like us, and sometimes does not look like us. And I'll go a step further. Sometimes might not be of the same religion. Jesus didn't tell us to only treat Christians with respect. He taught us to treat everyone with respect. And we should be the standard bearers. I encourage all of you today that if you feel a discomfort inside of you, don't let it just sit. Find out what's causing that. Entertain it. Pray on it. But more importantly, grow it into positive energy. And step out in this world and show people that the God that you serve is not just a statue, not just in the scriptures. Show them that God is still real in your life. Every time you get a chance, prove to the world who your awesome God is. Show them in your deeds. Show them in your speaking. But more importantly, check your heart to make sure it's in the right place. And if you have any struggles and biases, that's okay. But every single day, you should be trying your hardest to tackle them. Because the Bible says, we don't do things alone, but He sent us a comforter. The Holy Spirit is here to help you as you struggle. You're not in this alone. You are God's beautiful children. You're His kids. You're His men. You're His women. You're His soldiers. You are His lieutenants. You're His generals. And He just needs you to be not someone else, but be the best you can be. opportunity. Pastor, again, thank you for allowing me to be here today. I just want to say, in the spirit of love, never let anyone stop you from doing what you know God has put in your heart. God bless you.
Thanksgiving, we remember those who have died. Inspire us by their witness to your love. Bring us into your eternal presence to live with you forever. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Invite you now to offer your own intercessions and thanksgivings out of solemnly and loud and pray for immigrants and refugees around the world and give pray in thanksgiving for our page and his prophetic witness today. We also pray in thanksgiving for the life of Gretchen Brinkerhoff, who we celebrated yesterday at her funeral, and we pray for the families who are grieving and those you now name out of silent things online.